Hello and welcome to your GCSE Design and Technology Revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most important topics in the whole course, design contexts. This is topic 1.13 and it's all about understanding that every single design decision you make is shaped by the world around it. Stick with me for the next few minutes and by the end you'll know exactly how to pick up marks on this topic in your exam. Let's go. So, what do we actually mean by a design context? Think of it this way. Imagine you're asked to design a chair. Simple, right? Well, not quite, because the context completely changes everything. A chair for a primary school classroom needs to be lightweight, stackable, easy to clean, and safe for small children. A chair for a hospital waiting room needs to be easy to wipe down, durable, and comfortable for people who might be sitting for a long time. A chair for a high-end restaurant needs to look stunning, feel luxurious, and reflect the brand of the establishment. Same object, completely different contexts. And that means completely different materials, processes, and design decisions. That's the heart of topic 1.13. Now, let's talk about the key types of design context you need to know. Examiners expect you to be able to identify and work within these contexts, so let's run through them. First, we have the domestic context, products designed for use in the home. Think kitchen appliances, furniture, children's toys. Safety, aesthetics, and ease of use are usually the top priorities here. Second, the industrial or commercial context, products made for workplaces, factories, or businesses. Here, durability, efficiency, and cost at scale become the driving factors. Third, the medical or healthcare context, products that need to meet incredibly strict safety and hygiene standards. Materials need to be non-toxic, easy to sterilise, and often lightweight. Fourth, the environmental context. This is about sustainability. Designers working in this context prioritise recyclable materials, low carbon footprints, and products that can be disassembled at end of life. And fifth, the cultural or social context. Products designed for specific communities or social groups, where aesthetics, symbolism, and cultural sensitivity matter enormously. Right, now let's get into the meaty bit, materials and their performance characteristics. This is where a lot of marks are won and lost in the exam, so pay close attention. You need to be able to select a material, justify that selection, and link it back to the context. Let's look at the four main material families. Metals. Metals are strong, durable, and can be shaped in many ways through processes like casting, forging, and machining. Steel is incredibly strong and cheap, which makes it brilliant for structural components in industrial contexts. Aluminium is lightweight and corrosion resistant, making it ideal for products that need to be both strong and light. Think bicycle frames or aircraft components. The downside? Metals can be expensive to work with. They conduct heat and electricity, and they're heavy compared to polymers. Woods. Timber is a natural, renewable material with a warm aesthetic that makes it popular in domestic contexts. Hardwoods like oak and mahogany are dense and durable, great for furniture that needs to last decades. Softwoods like pine are cheaper and easier to work with, making them good for construction and less demanding applications. Manufactured boards like MDF and plywood offer consistency and are less prone to warping. The key limitation of wood is that it can absorb moisture and change shape over time, so it's not ideal for wet environments without treatment.
Polymers! That's plastics to most people. Polymers are incredibly versatile. They can be rigid or flexible, transparent or opaque, and they're generally cheap to manufacture in large quantities. Thermoplastics, like ABS and polypropylene, can be melted and reshaped, which makes them perfect for injection moulding, the process used to make everything from foam cases to food containers. Thermosetting plastics, like epoxy resin, set permanently once formed, and are great for electrical components because they don't conduct electricity. The big issue with polymers? Sustainability. Most are derived from fossil fuels and don't biodegrade easily. Textiles. Fabrics and fibres bring a unique set of properties. Flexibility, comfort, and the ability to be dyed and printed. Natural fibres like cotton and wool are breathable and biodegradable. Synthetic fibres like polyester and nylon are stronger, more durable, and often cheaper. In a medical context, you might use antimicrobial fabrics. In a sports context, you'd want moisture-wicking performance fabrics. The context drives the choice every single time. Now, manufacturing processes. You need to understand not just what processes exist, but why a particular process is chosen for a particular context. Injection moulding is used for high-volume production of polymer components. It's fast, consistent, and cost-effective once the mould is made, but the initial tooling cost is high. Laser cutting is brilliant for precision work in thin materials – metals, wood, acrylic – and it's increasingly used in schools and small-batch production. 3D printing, or additive manufacturing, is perfect for prototyping and one-off complex shapes, but it's slow and expensive for mass production. Casting, pouring molten material into a mould, is used for metals and is great for complex shapes. And hand tools and benchwork are still relevant for bespoke, one-off items where the craft quality is part of the product's value. Okay, exam tips time. This is where we get really focused on picking up marks. First and most importantly, always justify your choices. The most common mistake candidates make is selecting a material or process without explaining why it's appropriate for the specific context. The examiner wants to see the link. Don't just say, "I would use steel." Say, "I would use steel because its high tensile strength means it can withstand the repeated loading forces in an industrial context, and its relatively low cost makes it suitable for mass production." That's the difference between one mark and three marks. Second, use the correct technical vocabulary. Words like tensile strength, malleability, corrosion resistance, thermoplastic, injection moulding, these are the terms that signal to the examiner that you know your stuff. Candidates who use vague language like "it's strong" or "it looks nice" are leaving marks on the table. Third, consider the disadvantages too. Examiners love it when candidates show balanced thinking. If you're recommending aluminium, acknowledge that it's more expensive than steel. If you're recommending MDF, note that it doesn't perform well in wet conditions. Showing awareness of trade-offs demonstrates higher order thinking and earns you marks in the higher mark bands. Now, for our quick-fire recall quiz, I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. Name two performance characteristics of aluminium that make it suitable for a medical device context. The answers: lightweight, reducing fatigue for healthcare workers, and corrosion resistant, meaning it can be sterilised repeatedly without degrading. Question 2. What is the key difference between a thermoplastic and a thermosetting plastic? A thermoplastic can be reheated and reshaped multiple times, while a thermosetting plastic sets permanently once formed and cannot be remelted. Question 3. A designer is creating a children's outdoor toy. Give two reasons why they might choose HDPE over wood. HDPE is weather resistant and won't rot or splinter, making it safer and more durable in outdoor conditions. It's also easier to clean and maintain. Right, let's bring it all together. The big takeaway from today is this: context is everything in design. Every material you choose, every process you select, every feature you include, it all has to be justified by the context you're designing for. In your exam, whenever you're asked about materials or processes, ask yourself, who is this for? Where will it be used? What does it need to do? And what are the constraints? Answer those questions in your response, and you will be picking up marks. Remember the key material families: metals, woods, polymers, and textiles, and know at least two or three performance characteristics for each. Know your manufacturing processes and when each one is appropriate, and always, always link your choices back to the context. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those justifications, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck.